بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Normally towards the end of our i'tikaf, we read out and the audience listens to this poem of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, which is titled Shahid al-Qudrat, Witness to the Qudrat and the Power of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi was blessed with many, many attributes and qualities. He was not only a Hafiz of the Quran, but also a Qari, an Alim, Muhaddith, Mufti. But he was also a poet par excellence. And this beautiful poetry that Hazrat Mufti Sahib composed himself shows the excellence of the poetry that Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to compose. So the reason why this poetry is titled Shahid al-Qudrat, Witness to the Qudrat and the Power of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, is that Hazrat Mufti Sahib is trying to give the message that we ought to ponder over the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Everything around us reflects through the creation, it reflects the beauty of the Creator, the power of the Creator. We are told also that tafakkaru fi khalqillah, that ponder over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the purpose of pondering? So that we can recognize the greatness of our Creator and the beauty of our Creator. The Quran too says, wa fi anfusikum afala tubsirun, that ponder over your own selves, your bodies. What amazing organs Allah Ta'ala has placed in the human body. You get blood traveling through the body, veins, arteries. You get the functioning of the liver, kidney, all the organs of the body. This machinery placed in the human body is something that man cannot create. This is a creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the universe too, we look at the beauty of the mountains, the trees and the rivers, the beauty of the sun, moon of the sun and the stars, the beauty of the birds, animals, flowers. All these things reflect the greatness and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are encouraged that let this creation be the witness to the qudrat and the power and the beauty of Allah. That is why the poem also is entitled Shahid al-Qudrat, Witness to the Power of Allah, to the Beauty of Allah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that Alhamdulillah, from childhood I have been endowed with this gift, that whenever I see some beautiful creation of Allah Ta'ala, whether it be a tree, a flower, a bird, unlike other children, they start playing with that flower, climbing the tree, trying to catch the bird. As a Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that from childhood, Allah Ta'ala would immediately divert my mind to the Creator of these things. That if this flower, this bird, this tree is so beautiful, then how much more beautiful is our Creator? How much more powerful is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So in other words, the creation of Allah Ta'ala is like a mirror. It reflects the power, the qudrat, and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what this poet is trying to put across. The poem is very beautiful. People that understand Urdu will truly appreciate the words of the poem. And it is very difficult. We have limited time. Obviously, I cannot translate every couplet in this poem, because the meaning of the poetry also is very, very deep. This poem in this book covers a mere 9 or 10 pages. There are about approximately close to 100 couplets here, 80 some odd. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Tawli Sahib, an Ustaz of Darul Deoband, also a Khalifa of Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, he wrote a brief commentary of this poem. If you had to write a detailed commentary, you would need volumes. It will fill books and books. But he wrote a brief commentary. That commentary in Urdu was then translated into English by an alim here in South Africa. And then it was published. Brothers who come for i'tikaf, they may recall, last year in i'tikaf, I gave to all the people in i'tikaf as a gift this book, which is in English, a brief commentary of this poem. So if you had the time to read through that book, you will appreciate the value of this poem. So the gist of the poem basically is that, as the Mufti Sahib is saying, that I am seeing the beauty and the qudrat and the power of Allah in the siparas of the Quran. I am seeing the beauty and the power of Allah in the tilawat of a qari, in the judgment of an Islamic judge, in the affection of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, in the sternness of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, in the shyness and chastity of Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, in the bravery of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Oh Allah, I'm seeing your beauty and your qudrat in the sun, moon and the stars, in the trees, birds and the flowers. Everything reflects your qudrat. So the reason we have to ponder over the creation in order to realize the qudrat and beauty of Allah is that so that you can gain recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah ta'ala blesses us with his marifat, his recognition, then we realize how much we love our Creator, how much more we ought to do to please our Creator, and how essential it is to displease our Creator by staying away from sins, abstaining from sins. The background to this poem is also very, very unique. Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi wrote this beautiful poetry while he was recuperating in a hospital in London. He had to undergo eye surgery. Hazrat Mufti Sahib's eyesight towards his latter age began failing, but he was unperturbed about this. If Allah Ta'ala has given the eyes for a certain period of time, it is his wish, we thank him. But it is an amanat, a trust. Whenever Allah Ta'ala wishes to take it away, he can remove the eyesight. These people had their gaze and focus on the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, a hadith of Qudsi, where Nabi Sallam relates the words of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala says to this effect, that man ibtalaytu bi habibatay fa sabara awwaztuhu bihima al jannah. Aw kama qala. That if I test my servant with these two precious assets, that is, if I take his eyesight away and he exercises patience, then in lieu of that I grant him jannat. So the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah felt, why should I let this opportunity go by to attain jannat through the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So initially he refused to go to hospital, but his sheikh, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, he virtually ordered Hazrat Mufti Sahib to go through the surgical procedure. He said to Hazrat Mufti Sahib that I am of old age, my eyesight is failing. If I need to look up something in the kitabs, then I will request you to do so, because you have that acumen, that know-how, knowledge, where to find the masail. So I want to treat your eyes as my eyes. My eyesight is going. So if I need to search for something, I need you to look it up for me. So because it was the command of his sheikh, Hazrat Mufti Sahib relented. He went through this procedure. An operation was performed in an eye clinic in London. Later, another surgical procedure also had to take place when Hazrat Mufti Sahib returned to India, in Calcutta. Hazrat Mufti Sahib had to spend about 4 months there. That's the year I was also studying in Deoband. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, together with his special assistant and aide, Maulana Ibrahim Pandor Sahib, Madazillahu, he asked me, do you also want to come along? So why could I let the opportunity go to be in the service of Hazrat Mufti Sahib? So I too went along, and while I was there for the 3-4 months, Hazrat Mufti Sahib personally still conducted the lessons and continued to teach me. That is Allah Ta'ala's fazl and grace. So 4 months he spent in Calcutta as well. But eventually, after the Shaykh also passed away, it was the Mufti Sahib's latter years. Eventually, as the Mufti Sahib did lose his eyesight of both the eyes, with the hope that Allah Ta'ala, in lieu of that, will grant him entry into Jannat. So while he was lying in his hospital bed there in London, after the operation had taken place, these type of operations normally, the eye specialist, the surgeon, will tie some bandage across the eyes, and when he feels after a few days, it is now advisable, feasible to remove the bandages, then they normally test the eyesight, how it is focusing. So as the Mufti Sahib, after a few days when they removed the bandage, look at the expertise of the Mufti Sahib, that he even astounded the professor. He was a professor, head of that eye clinic. When he came and removed the bandage, in order to see whether the Mufti Sahib's eyes are now focusing properly, whether the operation was successful, he showed 2 fingers to Hazrat Mufti Sahib and asked him through an interpreter, obviously he was speaking English, through an interpreter, that ask this senior, that how many fingers am I showing to him? There were 2 fingers. So he wanted to gauge whether perhaps Hazrat Mufti Sahib is seeing instead of 2, maybe 3 fingers, double vision, maybe 4 fingers, or perhaps he viewed the 2 fingers as a single finger. So the Mufti Sahib was asked, how many fingers are there? So the Mufti Sahib could have replied straightforward, there are 2 fingers. But through the interpreter, he said to the professor, that the number of fingers you are showing me is half of the sum of 1 plus 3, in a roundabout way. Half of the sum of 1 plus 3. 1 plus 3 is 4, half of that is 2, so 2 fingers. So the professor began to scratch his head and he asked the interpreter, that ask your alim, your senior, your Islamic scholar, why did he not straightforward say 2 fingers? Why did he say it in the roundabout way? So through the interpreter, the Mufti Sahib explained that I wish to teach something to the professor as well. So the Mufti Sahib was expert in mathematics as well. Then as the Mufti Sahib through the interpreter explained, that if you look at any digit in the world, it will always work out to this conclusion that any digit you take, it is always half of the sum of the number preceding that digit and the number following that digit. Like in this case, the professor showed 2 fingers. If you take the digit 2, the number preceding 2 is 1 and the number following 2 is 3. So if you take the sum of that, add up the 2, 1 plus 3 is 4, half of that will be 2. You can test any digit. Take the digit 10, for example. Number preceding 10 is 9. The number following 10 is 11. 9 plus 11, 20, half of that is 10. If you take 50, for example, the number preceding 50 is 49. The number following 50 is 51. 49 plus 51 is 100. Half of that is 50. If you take 100, number preceding it, 99. The number following it, 101. 99 plus 101, 200. Half of that is 100. So the professor was taken aback. And then he said to the interpreter, to Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that we have been through varsity. We studied mathematics, all the branches of mathematics, algebra, trigonometry, geometry. We went further, additional maths, calculus, what have you. But no professor in the varsity also explained to us the reality of digits, that every digit works out to this, that it is always half of the sum of the preceding number and the following number. So even he was surprised. Hazrat Mufti Sahib was blessed with great intellect. In one bayan, Hazrat Mufti Sahib was explaining how today the Ummah's unity is in tatters, and how the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in enjoyed unity, especially in the presence of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in later years after the martyrdom of Uthman Ghani radhiyallahu ta'ala, due to some political differences, there were some clashes, but generally the Sahaba enjoyed unity. But today, generally throughout the world, there is disunity among the Muslim Ummah. So in the bayan, as the Mufti Sahib explained, that the disunity that we are seeing today among the Muslim Ummah is like the multiplication table of 8. The 8 times multiplication table. And the unity the Sahaba enjoyed is like the 9 times multiplication table. Then as I explained, that you take the 8 times multiplication table, as you advance through the multiplication sequence, the numbers are increasing. But if you add the 2 digits together, the numbers are decreasing. For example, 1 times 8 is 8. So that's 8. 2 8s are 16. 16 is more than 8. So the Muslim population is increasing like that. But if you add the 2 digits together, 2 times 8 is 16, 6 plus 1 is 7. From 8 you've come down to 7. Go on to 3 times 8, 24. We have increased from 8 to 16 to 24, but add the 2 numbers together, 2 plus 4, 6. We've come down, 8, 7, 6. 4 8s are 32. 32 is a bigger number than 24, but add the 2 digits together, 3 plus 2, 5. 5 times 8, 40. Bigger number, but 4 plus 0 is only 4. So you've come down from 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. So as I explained, that our numbers in terms of population, today also we speak in this term, Islam is a fastest spreading religion. But as I explained, that this is a state of our unity. Unity is decreasing all the time. On the other hand, the Sahaba's unity was like the 9 times multiplication table. That if you go through the sequence, 1 times 9 is 9, 2 9s are 18, number is increased, but add the 2 digits, 8 plus 9 still 9. 3 9s are 27, number is increased, but 2 plus 7 still 9. 4 9s are 36, 3 plus 6 still 9. 5 9s are 45, 4 plus 5 still 9. So in other words, the Sahaba's condition was such. Their numbers were increasing, but their unity remained constant, like the 9 times multiplication table. Their unity was very steadfast, and that is the unity we ought to have. The Sahaba had their political differences later, but that was something they tried to resolve on the battlefield. In their hearts, they held no animosity for one another. They had absolute respect and honor for one another. So much so that when the battle of Siffin took place, a certain Sahabi, on the battlefield he was in the army of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. But when sometimes for a temporary period there would be a ceasefire, either to perform their salah, both armies needed to perform their salah, or a ceasefire to partake of their meals, this Sahabi who was enlisted in the army of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, when it was time for salah, he would cross over the battlefield and go behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala to perform his salah. When it was meal time, he would come and sit on the dasturkhan of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala to partake of his meals. Someone asked him the reason for this. So he said, there is more enjoyment in that salah, but more enjoyment in this food here. So it shows in their hearts they held no animosity. There was a little political differences which they needed to sort out. Same with our pious predecessors, similar thing. When India gained independence from the British regime, now there was a difference of opinion among the masses. Even the ulama differed. that as India was during the British regime, a huge country, a single state, should it remain like that, or should it be partitioned? Many Muslims were in favor of partition, that Muslims should get their own country. So eventually it resulted in this, after a lot of bloodshed, where many people were slaughtered. But eventually it came to pass, India became its own country with a Hindu government. On the one side we had East Pakistan, on the other side we had West Pakistan. Eventually one of them became only Pakistan, the other became Bangladesh, Muslim governments. So in this matter, among the greatest Akabir elders, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi, Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi, and Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullahi, had their difference on the political forum. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullahi was not in favor of partition. He wanted India to remain a single state. Muslims can still live alongside the Hindus and practice their deen. But Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi and others were in favor of partition. And the result of the partition can be seen today. Pakistan supposedly a Muslim country, but the amount of Western influence there, the amount of modernism there, you won't find in India. Even today our Akabir speak in terms of the fact that you want to see true deen, you will still find it in India. Although there is deen in Pakistan, but relatively, comparatively, you will find deen stronger in India as opposed to Pakistan. Pakistan is going towards modernism, going off the track of Islam, generally. Although there are great Akabir there too. We do not say all of them. But among the masses you find the swing towards Westernism, modernism. So nevertheless, these two Akabir had their differences, but yet in their hearts they had the utmost respect for one another. So much so, that on one occasion, Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah went to Tanabon to visit Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi, in spite of the political differences they used to meet with each other. He happened to arrive there late in the evening when the doors of the Khanqah were closed already. So the doorkeeper did not recognize Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullahi, ordinary layman, guarding the door. Hazrat Madani came, requested the door to be open. I wish to spend the night in the Khanqah. So the doorkeeper refused that we have rules and regulations here. The doors are shut after a certain period of time. You came after that time, you cannot enter. So Hazrat Madani was unfazed with that. He had his bedding, he put it down on the doorstep and he slept the night outside. In the early part of the morning, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi got up for his tahajjud salah. Hazrat Madani also was about to get up. Hazrat Thanvi needed to come out of the Khanqah to go attend to the call of nature, perform his wudu. When he came, to his surprise, he saw, immediately he recognized Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullahi. To his utter amazement, he quickly apologized to Hazrat Madani Rahmatullahi for this disrespect that you had to sleep outside, and he called the doorkeeper and he said to him that, look at this man. In future, whenever you see this man, any time of the day and night that he comes, doors must be open for him. Do not shut him out. And then Hazrat Madani spent some time with Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi that day. When namaz time came, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullahi was very particular about who should lead the salah. He used to be the imam. He should not allow anyone else to go onto the musalla. But look at the respect he accorded Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah. He said to him, Hazrat, in your presence, only you will lead the salah. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah stepped forward and performed the salah. So in spite of the political differences, they had the utmost respect for each other. So this poem Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah wrote while he was recuperating in that London hospital. Hazrat used to explain, in the middle of the night, I was all alone in my ward, in the room, when out of nowhere, I heard a voice call out to me, ke tune hame dekha hai? Did you see me? Hazrat Mufti Sahib got a feeling that this appears to be a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps through some farishta, whatever the case. Allah is asking, have you seen me? So Hazrat Mufti Sahib replied in the affirmative, ke maine tumhe dekha hai, that yes, O Allah, I have seen you. Meaning, not literally seeing Allah ta'ala, but in a figurative sense, that O Allah, I have seen your qudrat and your beauty in your creation. Thereby I have gained your recognition with your fadl and your grace. In that way I have seen you. So on this, the Mufti Sahib wrote this entire poem without pen and paper. Normally you find poets get inspiration. They sit with a notebook and pen at the bedside. As soon as some couplet comes to mind, they will immediately jot it down so that they don't forget. But here is a Mufti Sahib, close to 100 couplets here, stored in memory bank, while lying in that hospital, without noting it down. So, in this poem we'll hear time and again, this strain will come over and over again, mene tume dekha, that all I have seen you, meaning, I have seen a manifestation of your qudrat and your beauty in your creation, Allah. And thereby, that assists me to recognize you. Initially, Hazrat Mufti Sahib was very protective and secretive about this poem. When we were in Calcutta for the 4 months, ulama would come, Hazrat would sometimes read out some couplets of this poem, but he would look very carefully. After the surgery, his eyes were sharp. He would see if anyone took out a pen and not a pen and not a pen and notebook to note down, immediately would stop the poem. Because he was perhaps apprehensive, fearful, that because this statement time and again comes in the poem, this strain over and over again, mene tume dekha, all I have seen you, Hazrat felt perhaps someone will accuse me of making a claim of having seen Allah Ta'ala. Whereas we read this morning in the kitab also, the Mufti Sahib's own bayan, that in this world with these eyes it is not possible to see Allah Ta'ala. Yes, in the akhirat, on the plains of Qiyamah, Allah make us among those fortunate Muslims, that we will be able to see Allah Ta'ala on the plains of Qiyamah. And then when we go into Jannah, inshallah, every week, over and over again, we will be able to see the blessed countenance of our Creator. We will see our Allah, but not in this world. So the Mufti Sahib felt perhaps people will accuse me that I am making a claim to have seen Allah Ta'ala. So he was very secretive, protective about this poem. But eventually in his later years, his associates, close ulama, explained to him that people will not get this impression that you are making this claim. We will elaborate that all that you are claiming is that you have seen the manifestation of the qudrat and the beauty of Allah Ta'ala in the creation. So this is a poem. We cannot read out the entire poem, but a few couplets. Those who understand Urdu will understand the beauty. And as I mentioned, those who want translation, there is no time for the translation, but I have given the gist. Hazrat Mufti Sahib is saying, oh Allah, I have seen you in the sun and the moon and the stars. I have seen you in the trees, rivers and valleys. I have seen you in the recitation of the Qari. I have seen you in the sacrifices of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Meaning, oh Allah, I have seen a manifestation of your beauty and your power in all this creation, thereby acquiring your recognition. And as I said, this book was given out last year free of charge. You should read up this book in order to truly appreciate what in-depth meanings they are contained in this poetry. So this is a poem. As the Mufti Sahib starts with this, all I've seen your beauty in the pages of the Quran. I have seen your beauty in the higher forms of ibadat, in the beauty of iman, and in many creation of yours. So the poem starts, Quran ke siparo mein, ihsan ke isharo mein, ایمان کے سنواروں میں معصوم پیاروں میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے صدیق کی شفقت میں فاروق کی سطوت میں عثمان کی عفت میں کرار کی حیبت میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے احمد کی روایت میں مالک کی درایت میں صفیاں کی سقاحت میں نعمان کی فقاحت میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے خورشید کے تاروں میں راتوں کے ستاروں میں آنکھوں کے خماروں میں یاروں کے نظاروں میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے گلزار میں خاروں میں کوہسار میں غاروں میں گنبد میں میناروں میں خلوت میں ہزاروں میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے عطار میں جامی میں رومی میں حسامی میں خسرو میں نظامی میں سعدی میں سنامی میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے قاری کی تلاوت میں قاضی کی عدالت میں مفتی کی دیانت میں غازی کی شہادت میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے خالد کی شجاعت میں حاتم کی سخاوت میں صحبہ کی بلاغت میں مجنو کی نقاہت میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے لیلیٰ کی ملاحت میں شیری کی صباحت میں نغمہ کی نزاکت میں سعدا کی نظافت میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے گنگوہ کے رہبر میں اجمیر کے دلبر میں سر ہند کے سرور میں کشمیر کے انور میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے سندل میں چمبیلی میں عطار میں تیلی میں پھاٹک میں حویلی میں میرٹھ میں بریلی میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے بنگال کے بالوں میں لبنان کے لالوں میں سودان کے کالوں میں گجرات کے گالوں میں میں نے تمہیں دیکھا ہے मैंने तुम्हें देखा है बचपन में जवानी में शाही में शबानी में आजाद बयानी में पाबंद जुबानी में मैंने तुम्हें देखा है मैंने तुम्हें देखा है तस्बीह के दानों में तरजील के शानों में सजदे के निशानों में खामोश फसानों में मैंने तुम्हें देखा है मैंने तुम्हें देखा है रोजों में नमाजों में ईदों में जनाजों में रैलों में जहाजों में नाजों में नियाजों में मैंने तुम्हें देखा है मैंने तुम्हें देखा है जाकिर में मुराकिब में जाइर में मुसाहिब में नाजिर में मुहासिब में गाफिर में मुआकिब में मैंने तुम्हें देखा है मैंने तुम्हें देखा है मैंने तुम्हें देखा है मैंने तुम्हें देखा है अल्लाह गिव अस आल्सो इंशाल्लाह द एबिलिटी एंड द तौफीक टू स्टडी द क्रिएशन ऑफ अल्लाह इन ऑर्डर टू अंडरस्टैंड द ब्यूटी एंड द कुदरत एंड द पावर ऑफ अल्लाह सुभान व तआला मे अल्लाह तआला आल्सो ग्रांट अस ऑल हिज ट्रू रिकॉग्निशन इंशाल्लाह व आखिर दुआना
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على سيدنا محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما ترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحننت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما سلمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وارحم سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما جعلت على آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما بارك على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي التحيات لله والصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله تحيات الله وصلواته الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار نسأل الله الجنة ونعوذ بالله من النار التحيات لله زاكيات لله الطيبات صلوات الله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات صلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني اللهم اغفر لنا واهدنا التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله تحيات الله صلوات الله زاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله
Brothers, the clock is ticking away. Blessed month, blessed month, blessed month about to leave us. We have this couple of days left. Let us not waste our time. If the moon is sighted tomorrow evening, this could possibly be the last night of Ramadan. But because the chances are very, very slim, very unlikely the moon will be sighted. So inshallah, Allah will bless us with one more night, one more day, tomorrow inshallah. But this is the last uneven, odd night. So let us use it to the maximum benefit inshallah. Let us not while away the time in idle and vain talk. Whatever little ibadat you can do, seek pardon for our sins. Let us utilize these beautiful moments of this blessed month. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من الداعين واجعلنا من الذين يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر واجعلنا من الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أعنا على سكرات الموت وغمرات الموت. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء شهر رمضان واغفر ذنوبنا بحرمة شهر رمضان أهل رمضان. اللهم أكرمنا بحرمة الشهر حرمة شهر رمضان. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنك عفو كريم رحيم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك من نبيك وعبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين بفضل سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.